largest threat is really to a company's reputation. Corporate reputation, the loss of consumer confidence, a major breach can severely affect relationships with customers, with business partners, and it can certainly affect the stock price.
Privacy liability and identity theft are risks at the top of every manager's list of worries. On this inaugural edition of the ACE Professional Risk Podcast, we'll talk with Brad Gow of ACE USA about these new threats and some of the issues you need to think about as you plan your responses to these risks. This is Steve Lubecki. Our guest today on the ACE Professional Risk Podcast, Brad Gow, is an expert on data security risks that companies face in an interconnected world. Brad is a vice president in ACE USA's Professional Risk Division. Brad oversees technology errors and omissions and network risk product management and underwriting operations. He's written many articles on network risk management and speaks frequently on cyber risk and network security topics. Brad Gow, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Brad, there's been a lot of press recently about privacy breaches and identity theft. A great deal of the media attention to the potential for identity theft, the potential for security breaches that involve data, has arisen since the laws changed in California that required some disclosure. Can you talk about the California laws a little bit?
California Senate Bill 1386, which was passed in 2003, is significantly different from the other privacy legislation that's been passed in that it mandates that companies that lose personally identifiable information need to contact those individuals that are potentially affected and let them know that there is an increased risk for identity theft.
So once you notify someone in California, you've effectively notified a larger audience beyond California.
Companies have been losing data for years. There have been lost backup tapes. There have been stolen laptop computers. There have been, you know, administrative errors that have compromised information. But until this California legislation, companies were not forced to go public with it. And so they were able to brush it under the rug. Now, these companies are forced under that law to notify their customers in California that they're at an increased risk for identity theft. But for public policy reasons, they really need to go in and contact every affected individual, regardless of where they live.
So it really raises the bar for the reputation risk that companies face.
It raises the bar, and subsequent to the California legislation, many other states began to adopt similar laws. And as of today, over 30 states have adopted similar identity theft legislation modeled on the California bill, and a lot of that became effective January 1st, 2006.
What are some of the things that companies really have to be concerned about in terms of losing confidential information?
There are a number of items, both tangible and intangible. And in this case, the intangibles are, in many cases, most important. The largest threat is really to a company's reputation. Corporate reputation, the loss of consumer confidence, a major breach can severely affect relationships with customers, with business partners, and it can certainly affect the stock price.
What about e-commerce? What are some of the risks that companies face in the e-commerce field?
Online retailers are in the business of trust, in that they're asking their customers to provide credit card numbers and other personal information and trust them to keep it confidential.
So your whole sales model could be at stake if you lose the trust to the customers.
Absolutely. And we saw one major case last year where a credit card processor had to go public after losing potentially 40 million identities. And the hit was so significant that they were no longer able to trade under their own name, and their assets were sold to a competitor. Once that trust is lost, those customers have many different options. They certainly have other online retailers to go to.
And people are already nervous about the idea of giving their personal financial data online, so if they have any kind of concern about a company, they certainly could go elsewhere quickly.
They can. From a management standpoint, a severe breach can severely affect a company's stock price.
What are some of the steps that companies are taking to protect their confidential data of their customers and the company itself?
Well, it starts with assigning formal executive responsibility for the privacy function. That could be a chief privacy officer or a chief information security officer, and establish and having that individual or that individual's team establish enterprise-wide policies around records and information management that's going in and classifying data according to sensitivity and the need for protection, and then protecting these different classes of data in different ways to ensure that the most sensitive information is not compromised. What companies really need to be concerned with is baking information security and information management and privacy into their corporate cultures. The first step is establishing a records and information management program, going in and identifying what kinds of data is flowing over a corporate network, what kinds of data is hosted on corporate systems, and really classifying that data according to its sensitivity. In any company, there's a ton of data being stored. Some of it's very sensitive, most of it is not. It's really a function of going in and identifying which data is sensitive, which data needs to be protected, and ensuring that the proper controls are in place to protect that data.
It sounds like an enormous task. Are there some standards that people can use or benchmarks to figure out how to set up such a program?
There are some ISO standards that have been established to help companies manage their records and information management systems. The ISO standards include getting a full inventory of all the data resident on corporate systems and essentially splitting it between that information which is sensitive and that information which is not terribly sensitive and does not need to be protected to the same standard that healthcare information or financial information or Social Security numbers or the like need to be protected to.
Sounds like this is a pretty large challenge in terms of training employees to be sensitive to the security of data.
It involves a number of hard and soft controls. On the softer side, training is paramount. For most companies, the employees that are handling the sensitive data on a day-to-day basis aren't necessarily the senior executives or the managers. It's claims processors, it's call center operators, it's folks in the billing department. These individuals need to be trained to understand the importance of customer information, which information is sensitive and which is not, and really to be on the lookout to ensure that that customer information is not compromised. Employees need to be very sensitive about the information that they manage on a day-to-day basis and exercise a significant degree of care around who they provide it to and how they use it internally. On the harder side, companies need to be concerned with network security. You've got to make sure you know who's allowed access to data, who's allowed access to systems, and to limit the access to that data only to appropriate individuals.
Brad, a lot of companies today are outsourcing some of their functions. They're outsourcing call centers. They're outsourcing claims processing, which you mentioned. How do companies take steps to make sure that the links between their suppliers and their service providers are also secure?
Well, Steve, the first step is making sure that you're dealing with outsourced service providers that maintain the same controls around privacy and security that you are. That's not easy when you're, in many cases, you're dealing with an offshore service supplier. Even companies that are very self-sufficient often bring in third-party service providers to manage call centers or store documents or provide other functions in which some of the data management function is outsourced. But it's important to go in and, first of all, establish that they've got appropriate security and privacy controls around the information that you're going to be entrusting to them, that those controls are mandated by and controlled by your contracts and service level agreements, and also that they have appropriate insurance in place that you might be able to touch in the event that they compromise your information. One point that we repeatedly discuss with our customers is that companies can outsource certain tasks and certain functions, but companies cannot outsource their liability. If customers entrust your company with their data, no matter where it's compromised down the line, you're the one who's going to be held responsible. The company that owns the data, the company that is facing the customers, maintains full liability. In the event that a mandatory customer notification needs to be made, it's that company, not the outsourcing company, that's going to need to go to customers and explain that this information's been compromised.
It's the company that owns the data, in other words.
The liability follows the company that owns the data.
Let's talk for a minute about how ACE is helping customers deal with these kind of risks. You've done some innovative work in network risk insurance. Talk a little bit about what you're doing.
Steve, with this California legislation, we began to get a lot of interest from our customers around privacy liability. And our customers came to us looking for solutions to this liability, which is brand new to them and, you know, did not exist 2 or 3 years ago. So we have recently expanded and updated our ACE Digitech technology liability and network risk insurance program to include affirmative privacy coverage, covering companies for breaches of their privacy policy and breaches of these privacy regulations, not only from network attacks or network security failures, but also from the more common causes of loss, such as stolen laptops or lost backup tapes, administrative error, that sort of thing. We've expanded the coverage to include independent contractors and outsourced service providers. And we've had a tremendous amount of interest from brokers and risk managers, and we're already dealing with a large number of very well-known technology and e-commerce companies.
So what are some of the things that you do in conjunction with your clients to help prepare them either for a minor breach or for a major data disaster? How do you work that?
We're really not in the business of managing a company's privacy function for them. But as underwriters, we go in and take a very sharp look at what they're doing around the privacy function and how they're doing it. In many cases, these applicants are very sophisticated in the privacy space and really are showing a great deal of care and respect for customer information that they have under their control. So we kick the tires a bit and, you know, spend some time with their information security people, with their privacy people, and with their general counsel, going in and establishing that, you know, with all these privacy policies and with all the customer commitments that companies are forced to make today, companies are really walking the walk and not just making empty promises.
You have probably looked at a fairly wide range of companies in terms of their data security issues. Have you come across any unusual data security considerations that you never thought you were going to encounter?
I think the one most surprising thing we've found is that regardless of how big a company is or how sophisticated or well-known a company is, the network security and the privacy controls can vary widely. We've seen some very small companies that you've never heard of with really state-of-the-art network security and privacy controls in place. And we've also seen very large e-commerce companies, household names, that have had exceptionally poor information management, information security controls around them.
If there was one single thing that companies could do to improve their data security that would take them further along than any other one thing that they would do, what would it be in your mind?
Steve, it really comes down to corporate culture and corporate cultures that respect information security and privacy. And it involves employee training. It involves hard controls around network security and data encryption and, for example, policies around what information can and cannot be stored on a mobile device such as a laptop computer, but also involves the software controls, training the employees that handle this data on a day-to-day basis, not necessarily senior executives, but the employees that handle this data on a day-to-day basis, having them understand what the importance to the company is around this information and making sure that they're careful with it and that this information is not misused.
We hope you've enjoyed this first edition of the ACE Professional Risk Podcast. If you have comments about the program or if you would like more information about insurance solutions for cyber liability issues, please visit our website, www.aceprofessionalrisk.com, or email Brad Gow at brad.gow, G-O-W, at ace-ina.com. For Brad Gow and everyone at ACE USA, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.